Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick Faribault from PennLive.com joins us to talk a little Steelers, maybe a little Penn State as well, and some college football before we let him go to the Tomlin News Conference. Nick, I'm going to start you with a question. Would the Steelers be better off against the Ravens with a healthy Mason Rudolph or an injured Aaron Rodgers?
You're really asking the scintillating questions here, Joe. Can the answer be neither? Because I think it would be. But I'd probably say, honestly, I mean, the way Rudolph has played, he's skipping passes to Metcalf on a 7-yard hitch. He's overthrown Washington when his game was wide open on a dump off. I mean, there's really not much difference here. I'd rather go with the highs of Aaron Rodgers because there's no floor that Rudolph has brought. He hasn't brought any floor to you. If you could get a floor where it was like, okay, I just know Mason Rudolph's just going to hit the right guy and throw the ball accurately, like he did in 2023, I would take that 100 times out of 100. I know there's at least highs in there for Aaron Rodgers. We've seen them, but he has not played like that in about 5 or 6 weeks, so I'll take the possibility of the highs that I know Rodgers has shown this year over what you've gotten from Rudolph, because I just think Rudolph the last 2 weeks has been somehow worse than Rodgers. I think that's been one of the crazier things, honestly, of the season.
Limits, did Nick rip me for my opening question, or did I miss that?
I don't think that he ripped you. I just think that you threw a big punch at the very beginning in the 8-round fight. You delivered a haymaker.
Right. You got to get it started early. Okay. Doran Dickerson told Mark Cabali here that Will Howard should be elevated to number two. In fact, why don't we play a minute of that for Nick Faribault? Because I enjoyed it, and I think Nick will too. You never know what Cabali's going to do, especially when it's in defense of Mason Rudolph. He goes to great lengths. Here we go.
Hey, all joking aside, right now, like we talk about some changes, like I definitely would elevate Will Howard to second string quarterback. I've seen enough of Mason.
Oh.
What? What is Mason going to give you?
What do you mean elevate him to second string?
I would.
I'm a Will Howard guy, but the guy has not had any snaps.
What
whatsoever.
Do you have to lose? You're going to go there and get Mason. He's gonna skip a ball in.
You can lose.
He's gonna skip a ball in like he's throwing to home, or he's gonna throw it up in the air and it's gonna get picked.
Well, at least he,
what do you have to lose? If
what
if
do you have
backup,
to lose? Your confidence.
What do you have to lose? Your confidence, says Cabali. Is this an insane idea or a good one, Nick?
It's not really that insane. As I said, I think Rudolph has just been so brutal over the past 2 weeks. Listen, I kind of understand where Cabali's coming from. Will Howard has not played that much, just in practice. But you kind of – the question is there something different that you can do that maybe is different in case Rodgers goes down again? Because Rodgers has played a lot of perilous football recently. He's holding on to the ball a lot. He's getting hit like he did against Joey Bosa there. And so I'd rather see Howard. Now, I'll say this. Things can get worse. When you think they can't, they always can. Just ask the Minnesota Vikings. They thought it couldn't get worse than J.J. McCarthy, and then Max Brosmer came in. So it can get worse. Whenever you think it can't get worse, it always can. So I'm not going to say Howard's going to be better than Rudolph. But at this point, you know what Mason Rudolph is. You've seen it. He's been terrible. Maybe Howard can get you a floor that you've been looking for. So I wouldn't hate the idea of moving him to second string, to be quite honest with you.
What do you think of that, Limits?
I just don't know what that would change at this point. Maybe just because Aaron Rodgers has become so brittle where you are more than likely, I think, to see somebody come in for Rodgers and Rodgers finish a game at this point, just based on track record last couple of weeks. So I'd be intrigued by Howard, yeah. Maybe I'm starting to lean in that direction. Maybe the power of Nick and Doran's rhetoric is starting to sway me.
I have a number for you, Nick. You ready for this?
Yep.
It's from a man named Ben Fennell. Do you know him?
Yes, I do.
Who is he?
He's a producer there at NFL Network. He does work with CBS Sports. I see him at the Combine and different things like that. Good man. Knows ball, too.
Well, here we go with Mr. Fennell. This is his tweet. Steelers haven't completed a downfield pass in 36 days on passes that have gone 20-plus yards in the air. The ball's in the air for at least 20 yards. They're 0-for-13 with 3 interceptions in the last 5 games. Nick, I'm wondering if there's ever been a team, and I'm dead serious about this, ever been an NFL team in the Super Bowl era that has gone 5 straight games without completing a pass that went 20 yards in the air? Well, how do you account for this? Whose fault is it? Where does the fault lie?
Yeah, I mean, I think quarterback-wise, they've had some pretty brutal opportunities there. You know, they've had a few last week, and Rudolph just completely missed them. Roman Wilson had a shot this week when he cooked the corner on third down, and Rodgers threw a bad pass. You know, they had a shot, potentially, with Jonnu Smith down the field on that seam ball. It would have been a touchdown. It would have been close to 20 air yards, but he ran the wrong route. Darnell Washington's catch this week up the seam, I think, was 19 air yards, so they just missed it. Unfortunate for them. But I do think when you look at it, it's partially receiver because I don't think you're seeing a lot of guys get open. Two, their schematics. They're taking away DK Metcalf. That's where the ball would go mostly on those throws. Three, schematically, they don't attack the middle of the field. That's part of where you would attack that. But the go balls aren't really open because teams are running too high and just shelling the outside deep ball. So there's not really a lot of one-on-ones you see. It's going to be cover two whole shots. And Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph seemingly do not want to rip those throws. There's a lot of different things. Quarterback-wise, I just think they're so limited quarterback-wise. I think you look at that. Rodgers has been inaccurate. Rudolph has underthrown, overthrown, just sailed balls. Rodgers has done much of the same. And when your receivers aren't getting open, when the schematics aren't really accentuating anything to try and attack that area of the field and get teams out of that, you put limited personnel with limited schematics, and you get what you have there. It has been pretty brutal to watch because the Steelers try to get this quick passing game going, and teams are just playing it now, and you're seeing the result of that. This offense cannot throw the ball consistently. The Bills did not respect it one bit, Joe. They stacked the box every time. The cornerbacks triggered downhill on run blitzes, I think, 13 times. 13 corner blitzes in the game? You kidding me? Just to stop the Steelers' run game. Give me a name.
Who does the Bucs stop with here on the downfield passing game?
I mean, really, if you want the answer right now, the answer is Aaron Rodgers. I think that is the answer because he is throwing the ball super quickly or he's holding on to the football and passing up opportunities down the field. There were a few that I saw on film. There's one over the middle to Darnell Washington that was open that he passed up. So there are opportunities. I think Aaron Rodgers has been so brutal throwing the ball down the football field. You just look at the accuracy numbers. It's all-time bad. In terms of, I believe, yards after the catch, I think 66% of his yards this year come after the catch. And there was a stat by Ben Solak at ESPN. I believe there's 713 quarterbacks over the last 20 years that have been tracked for that stat in terms of percentage of their yards being after the catch. Aaron Rodgers is 712th out of 713th. That is insane.
Wait, can you repeat that one? Limits was daydreaming.
So Aaron Rodgers, in terms of yak percentage, you know, the amount of yards that of his yards that come after the catch, is over 66% out of the last 20 years. It is 712th out of 713 quarterbacks over the last 20 years. I believe the only one that has more than is AJ Feely, if you remember him. So
yes, I
it
do.
Is it is pretty wild, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I think he's the one where it stops right now. He's not the only guy that's the issue. I think wide receiver wise, they don't have enough downfield passing attack and enough personnel to attack downfield. And then schematically, they don't try enough. But I also think Rodgers is passing up the very few opportunities they do have, or sailing them, or just missing them. So really, okay. Rodgers, I would say, but it's more than just Rodgers.
Sure. Good answer. Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com. How about T.J. Watt? I saw somebody was breaking down tape the other day. He was just getting destroyed in the run game, and we know he didn't get anything done in the pass rush. Well, it seems clear that T.J.'s lost a step. I think every team would still like to have him. Don't get me wrong, but maybe not for $41 million a year. It seems like he's lost a step. Fair?
100%. And the stats back it up. T.J. Watt is a speed rusher, and first step data does exist now in terms of how quick do you get off the ball. In 2023, I believe his first step was 0.75 seconds. This year, it's 0.87. That is significant. That one-tenth of a second matters for guys that are going to win with speed rush like T.J. does. And that's his age. You know, he's got to evolve his game. He's got to become more of a power rusher. He's got to have different ways. And I can see him experimenting with things, but it's not fully there yet. And that almost makes me think it's possible next year with another offseason, kind of knowing your limitations, you can actually develop that, and maybe TJ can have a little bit of research. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. But for this year, I mean, he's been struggling with the chips, the double teams. He doesn't have the speed rush that he used to, so he's been relying on that. But the run defense, Joe, I think is the real thing that's been concerning. He's been just shooting up gaps, trying to make TFLs like he did when he was 27, hasn't been holding the edge. I think some of that is coaching, but I think that's what TJ likes to do. What teams are doing now is they're going heavy, they're reducing the splits of the receivers, and they're getting the Steelers into nickel, and they're forcing the corners or TJ to hold the edge. And TJ has not held the edge. And so teams now, remember early in the year when everyone's like, oh, they're running away from TJ Watt. Now they're running at him. And it's actually working. The last 3 weeks, teams have just run right at TJ Watt. And they've gotten some of their best runs against him. So the Bills knew that. They came in and did that. And that's going to be something that has to be fixed, whether it's a coaching point, whether it's TJ himself acknowledging that he needs to start holding the edge. The run defense part of that is concerning because the other side with Herbig and Highsmith is actually holding up their end of the deal.
And watching the game back, Nick, it just seemed like Keanu Benton and Y.A. Black were being pushed off the ball 2-3 yards back, where Cam Hayward was the only one at the point of attack getting a push. Why do you think that is? And is it just that they're just getting beat personnel on personnel?
Some of it is that, for sure. I mean, Y.A. Black did not play well in this game. You know, I think he's kind of come back to earth after the summer that he had. He had a great summer, but the tape quietly over the last month or so has not been very good. And the Steelers have also found out over the last month he's not a nose tackle. He has not been good at nose tackle at all. So they've gotten him out of that spot. Broderick Martin, who was his replacement and came, you know, he was inactive, came off the Chiefs practice squad, was not very good. In terms of Benton, I kind of expect Benton 2 or 3 times a game just to get completely detonated off the snap. That's just him, I think, at this point. But he's a very useful player. I really think Benton is one of those guys where if he left the Steelers and went to, you know, San Francisco or somewhere where a team could really use that pass rushing skill set, he would be a lot more useful, and you'd see what makes Keanu Benton a good player a little more. He is a good player. So I do think there's that. But personnel-wise, they did just get beat. I mean, the thing people really aren't talking about enough is the Bills' game plan was to just make the Steelers' corners tackle, and the Steelers' corners did not tackle very well in this game. Plus, the linebackers don't stack and shed blocks all that well, or they're not athletic enough. You know, I think, you know, Patrick Queen isn't a great stack and shed guy. He's more of a flow and see guy. But then you get Malik Harrison in the game, and he doesn't have the speed to go sideline to sideline and get James Cook. So they're kind of in this bad conundrum where everything just amplifies itself one upon another. And then you have some weird alignment kind of ideas that the Steelers had. The way they were aligning some of the heavy sets and the condensed stuff made no sense. The run fits were out of sync. There's coaching, there's personnel issues, but they got punked up front personnel-wise. There's no doubt about it on Sunday.
All right, Nick, we'll let you go to the Tomlin News Conference, but not before a game of free association. Are you ready for this? Your answers can be as short as one word up to six or seven words. Here we go. If you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, do you have a mullet happening right now?
I do not. I have the thing. I have the tie in the back. Still going.
You like that, Limits? I like it.
I do, yeah. Nick, how long have you been growing that?
Man, my hair has been growing for years. 5 years at this point, I think. So it's long enough. It comes down to my shoulders if I kept it down.
I'm glad that we cleared that up, Limits.
You too.
We were both wondering about it. Here we go, Nick. Percent chance we'll hear Tomlin say Rudolph is starting in this game.
0%. I don't think that's happening.
Percent chance Will Howard starts a game this season.
5%. Going to need some injuries there.
Is Pat Freiermuth still going to be with the Steelers next year?
Yes, Johnny Smith will not.
How about Alex Highsmith? Will he still be here?
Leaning yes on that one.
Arthur Smith, will he still be here?
I believe he will.
Oh, my God. Tony Romo said Arthur Smith is a, quote, great coordinator. Agree or disagree?
Disagree, thoroughly mediocre.
Quarterback for next year will be?
Ty Simpson.
Holy ostrich follicles. I didn't expect that one. Did you limit?
Do you think he'll be available when they pick? Well, I mean, the way they're trending, they probably will be.
He is the one guy that I think fits where they're going to draft. I think they're going to draft a quarterback, and he's the one that I think fits where they are right now, so I'm going with him.
Will Mike Tomlin be here next year?
Yes.
Will the Steelers pick up Broderick Jones' fifth-year option?
They could, but leaning no.
Because of injury or performance?
Performance.
Or money. Performance, okay. That's surprising because I thought that he was playing his best football when he was hurt. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree, but I also think his best football is thoroughly below the line, and I think he has not been that good this year. Now, is he better than Andres Pete? Probably, but he's not played that well this year when you watch the film.
All right, a quick game of yes or no, continuing the theme here. The Minkah Fitzpatrick trade turned out to be a bad one.
Yes.
The Darius Slay signing was horrific.
Yes.
The Darius Slay signing was just as bad as Patrick Peterson and maybe worse.
Yes.
Thank you, Nick. I have no further questions.
Thanks, guys.
Except this one. The Patrick Queen signing turned out to be bad.
Yes.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, there you go, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Nick. This is a disaster, Limits, is it not?
Well, it's not in the positive direction with the arrow trending upwards.
Who do you blame for those? I mean, there seems to be a you know, sort of a split between do I blame or do we blame Omar Khan, Weidel, Tomlin, like for Darius Slay. I'm sorry, but I blame Tomlin. I don't think that Omar Khan is telling Mike Tomlin who he gets. I think there are instances where, you know, we need a receiver, we need a veteran corner. It's not Tomlin's job to then go out and scour the market. It's Omar's, but I think Omar comes back with options and Mike says yes or no.
Well,
that is my educated opinion on how the Steelers do business.
I agree. I do think that Weidel had some influence on the Slay signing just because of the Philadelphia connection there.
Well, shame on him then, because that was a bust.
I would not be surprised if Tomlin makes a lot of rulings and judgments to Omar and a lot of heavily thought out suggestions. To where they work in collaboration with each other, but
no, he tells them
Tomlin,
he tells them what he wants, and they give it to him. Yeah. The Jalen Ramsey trade doesn't happen unless Mike Tomlin says I want it to happen,
no
and
doubt.
That has turned out. I thought it was a good trade when it happened. Then I thought it was a great trade. Now I'm not so sure about that. And then Patrick Queen has just been, you know, with bursts of competence, still disappointing. The wide receiver signings and draftings have been disappointing. DK Metcalf. Calvin Austin as a draft pick. Roman Wilson as a draft pick. They don't even use Freiermuth, so why did they re-sign him?
You know
I'm baffled by that.
You know how many interceptions Minka has this year?
How many?
Wrong. One.
Yeah. Which equals the number of receptions for Jonnu Smith.
He also has a sack, his first career sack.
He had a pretty good game last game, and they're getting hot at the right time here.
He's not playing bad.
This is still a disaster. So let's move on to something that's not a disaster. And that would be the Penguins. And I am enjoying this. And the game last night was great. They're the most enjoyable team in town to watch right now. And I've been critical of Kyle Dubas. I'm here to praise him today. I like the mix of young and old. They're fun. They're a fun watch. We just saw our football teams get outscored, 66 to 14 or something?
14.
In big games in Pittsburgh this past weekend. Well, this team is fun. They're the opposite of watching that. You have the kid line, suddenly, of McGroarty, Koivunen, Kindle. They were fun to watch. Sid is unbelievable right now. The power play is like a revelation. Last night, just whipping the puck around and shooting the puck, which is a miracle. Last year, the power play got better. It did, but not like this. And the years before that, it was an absolute disgrace. So special teams have been good. They're top five. They're number one in the league in the power play, top five in penalty kill. They're top 10 in goals. They're top 10 in goals against. Those numbers bode well, oh, limitless wonder. And then you get to watch. We get the nostalgia tour for more than just that. The players involved are actually playing well, and we get that mixed with the kids coming up. I'm enjoying watching the Penguins. They're fun.
With Sidney Crosby third in the NHL in goals.
Particularly when they hammer the Flyers. And you know what else this team has? Guts. And more, it feels like more of an abrasiveness, more of an edge to them than the last six teams under Sully. You know what I mean? There's something about this team that just feels different in terms of we're going to respond if you're going to give our stars crap or anybody else crap. I like that.
Yeah, they're edgy. And that's something that they really weren't under Sullivan, where it seemed like Sullivan had his agenda and everyone else kind of needed to follow it. And we started to see the messaging clearly get stale to the point where now, it's a clear example with the Steelers, new messaging, new voices, with still a current roster, with still players that can play.
Yeah, and
plus
I can.
Plus some additions, it changes it.
Yeah, it's young and old, and it's fun to watch, and it looks like they're building the right way. It does. I wasn't convinced of that. I'm still not totally convinced. We'll see. You know, if the blow-up was the way to go, they didn't choose a complete blow-up. And right now, they look right. Now, are they back to Stanley Cup contention, which is where you really have to be and want to be? I mean, that's a question for them and the Capitals. Feels like they're both trying to honor the final stages of their generational superstars' careers while also trying to build. But if you don't have another generational guy, can you still win a cup? If you don't have another superstar? That's the question I'm pondering really for both those franchises, because they look awfully similar right now. But in the meantime, it's not just a veteran team scraping by. You know what I mean? That would be different to me.
Right.
If, you know, the Noel Acciaris, and he was pretty good this year. Nothing against Noel Acciari. I love Noel Acciari as much as the next person. But if you're just doing it with guys of that ilk, then you'd say, where are we really going here? At least there's several prominent young guys involved with more on the way. I like that limits.
Yeah, I do too. And you're starting to see that mix of young and old where Crosby mentoring the younger players, it's starting to make a lot of the noise during the offseason. Will the Penguins trade Sidney Crosby? Will the Sid one out of here? All is quiet when you win, Joe.
All's quiet when you win. It's the great elixir at any level of sports. Just win, baby. Meanwhile, let's get back into some college football next. Lane Kiffin's the biggest sports story in America right now. That situation. We'll talk about that. And who's the front runner at Penn State right now?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.